Hello and welcome to another Rock Climber Life podcast. I am your host, Jeff Zafrid, and coming to you again with another Trip Report podcast. But before I get started talking about that, just want to let you know, if you're listening to this on iTunes, be sure to head over to the blog, rockclimberlife.com. And while you're there, if you are on Facebook or Twitter, be sure to like the page on Facebook and follow me on Twitter, and the buttons are on the right side of the blog there. So this past weekend we went down to the New River Gorge again, and the weather was amazing. Again, it was slightly warmer than the weekend before. Got up into, I'd say, mid-60s, almost maybe even in the low 70s at some parts of the day. So definitely on the warmer side for April, but, you know, can't complain, because before we know it, it's going to be 95. So it was outstanding. We had a great trip overall. In our usual pattern, we went down on Saturday morning. Galen and I went to the other place. So I had my regular climbing buddy back. Her back is doing better, and she's recovering from her injury when we went to Cooper's a few weeks back. So we went to the other place. I had a few projects there, and she had a couple projects there as well. And we warmed up on Hope Pathology. And Hope Pathology is about 4 bolts or so, something like that, 5 bolts. And you walk up on this rock ramp, and you belay from there. So you kind of step across this little gully, and you climb from there. So it's a crimpy slab for the most part. The rock is good quality, good warm-up. For some reason, this one always kind of gets my attention a little bit, even more than the other warm-ups at the other place. Goes at 10A, and definitely, you know, just warms up the forearms nicely, and good quality crimps and nice moves up to the top, short climb, and we've done this one several times before, so this wasn't anything new over at the other place. But from there, I wanted to get straight to the business, and my business of the day was a climb called My First 11, and it's definitely, as the guidebook says, and I would agree, it would definitely not be a good choice for your first 11 rock climb. It's a tough one. It goes to 11B, but I had a little bit of trouble with this in the past. And I think I've been on this thing maybe, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times in that range, something like that. And I hadn't got the red point up until this past weekend when I was there. So this route, there's some pumping slopers first couple bolts, and then it abruptly goes into this, I would say, like bolt and a half length boulder problem, and it's on mostly on crimps, and you can clip a bolt on a couple reasonable jugs, but it's mostly on crimps, and it's a tough little bit there on around the third bolt moving to the fourth bolt. What always got it for me, what always, you know, pitched me off, was I would get pump moving in and I would clip the third bolt, and then from there, you go up to a pretty good jug, like kind of a little bit of a ledge, like a sloping ledge. And then from there, you're kind of going over this bulge a little bit, because the route was slightly kicked back for the first few bolts, first 3 bolts. And then from here, it slabs out just slightly. So you're going over this bulge. And when you go over the bulge, you have nothing but quite small crimpers to grab onto. And I always made the mistake of, you know, you can't really see your feet that well because they're below this bulge. So I'd get my feet too high, and I would get really crunched up on these two crimpers with my feet high, and I would just make some desperate lunge for the next small crimp, and it just was never happening. It just was bad body position. It was mostly a beta issue, I would say, because when I would fall, I would, you know, point out, you know, to myself, okay, I put my foot here and here, and then I would make the move no problem. So for some reason, I always screwed up the beta in this one spot. Well, this time I moved quickly through the first couple bolts, went over to third bolt, definitely, you know, all feeling the pump already, because it's, you know, where this boulder problem is. And I just kept thinking to myself, you know, just kept reminding myself, keep your feet low, keep your feet low. And I got up to the sloping ledge and kept my feet low, and then grab these two crimpers. Again, remind myself to keep my feet low, and I remember that there was, you know, kind of a where the holds were beneath me for my feet. Even though I hadn't been on this since, I would say, September or something like that last year, so it's been a while. But fortunately, I was able to get my feet in the proper position, crank down hard on those crimps, and reach the next one, and so forth. And there's a couple more crimps, and then there's a good jug where you clip the fourth bolt. So from there, it's more or less over. I mean, all the business is in the first four bolts. But, I mean, it still keeps your attention for the rest of the climb. It is a long climb. Something like, what does the book say? I'm looking at it right now. Where the heck is it? Here it is. 80 feet. It's 80 feet, 9 bolts is what the book is calling it. So, you know, the meat is over in probably the first 40 feet, 45 feet, something like that. So you get up to a ledge, you can shake out, get it all back. It's practically no hands. There's this huge flake you can kind of throw your arm around just to keep your balance so you don't fall backwards or whatever. And then from there, you move up a couple jugs, and it's a little bit steeper area, but not too bad. You know, pretty much dead vertical, maybe slightly kicked back. You clip the next bolt, and then from there, you get up to a few jugs, but you have to kind of do this awkward move, which for some reason is always awkward for me, getting up over onto this ledge, and it's a huge ledge. I mean, you can just, there's a rock even, you can sit down there. I mean, you could park a car up on this thing. It's really big. So I always kind of just, instead of getting my foot, you know, up on there and rocking over, I always end up getting my knee up on there and just kind of awkwardly standing up, but whatever. Ended up skipping one of the bolts right at that point. I totally forgot this thing was there because I knew once I was up on that ledge, the terrain eased up even more. So I kind of looked down, I was like, was that bolt always there? And then I realized, oh, whoops, I skipped the bolt. But once I, you know, rested for a few seconds on the ledge, I went over, you kind of get back on the face, was, I would say, kind of an airy position. Definitely a little bit of exposure at that point, and especially, you know, now that I realized, I was like, oh, crap, I forgot to clip this bolt. So, you know, I mean, the moves are easy, but, you know, you definitely wouldn't want to fall. You would fall quite a long way. So, you know, you traverse, there's some old tat, there's like an old anchor, there's like three pitons and some old nylon, which somebody should just go up there and cut it out. I should have thought of that and just took a pocket knife and cut it out of there. You know, nobody's using it. It's just this old tattered anchor. I think we're the original Ascensionists. They made kind of the anchor there. They didn't take it to the top of the cliff. So, but you move over, clip a bolt, and you kind of work some moves around this arete. You can use your left hand and kind of slap around the backside of this arete as you kind of stand up, grab the top of that section, and then stand up on that. And then you have another two bolts to the anchor, which is just kind of lichen covered, a little bit, it's a dirty finish. It's not a great finish, but it just kind of adds to the length of the climb. Doesn't really add anything to the quality. But you just kind of, you know, move your way through some sharp crimps and sharp kind of iron flake type features. A couple bolts and, you know, a little bit of a tough anchor clip, but it's not too bad. You kind of just have to lock off low and reach up high and clip the anchors because there's not really any good holds above and around the anchor. So I was super psyched to get this red point. This has been a long time coming. For some reason, I just wasn't able to get this one very easily at all. It took me, you know, like I said, around 5 burns to get it. But first burn of the day, and I got it in the bag. So my first 11B, and that's a red point. So that was good. And that one was on my project list. So 68 more to go. Woo! All right. So from there, Galen wasn't really interested in working her project that day on Saturday. So I said, well, you know, why don't we go over and try this other climb that I've been on one time? It's called Makes You Tigger. And I said, you know, you can top rope that one. So that sounded like a little bit more of an appealing idea. So I went over to Makes You Tigger. It's an 11A. It's an okay climb. I mean, it's not bad. You know, I just wanted to tick it off and just, you know, keep building kind of my base of, you know, doing 11s at the new. And it's kind of just a very cruxy spot about halfway up. but the climbing isn't too hard below it and isn't too hard above it, but just enough to keep your attention. So the first half is dead vertical, and you work your way up, and the moves get thinner and thinner, and the moves get a little bit tougher, kind of, and they climax in this one spot. And the move is characterized by a really high left foot, which is tough for me because of flexibility issues, and so you definitely have to stretch out for this one. You have a decent left side pull, and you kind of have this low, like, at your waist jug, and then you get your foot real, real high. There's a really bad crimper at about head height for your right hand, and there's a decent one if the friction is good, which it was that day, if you stretch out real high, and I ended up using that one. So I had the side pull, and I reached up high, and it was too awkward and too stretched out for me to get my left foot up at first. So I wanted to get my right foot up slightly, like bump it up onto something small. And then I could get my left foot up and I wouldn't be so, you know, such a horrible high foot position. So I had kind of this compression move with the left hand on this side pull and ended up just slipping out. So I was kind of bummed about that. I was like, ah, crap, you know, I was hoping to get it, but no big deal. Because after my first 11, I was just psyched. I was like, well, you know, I mean, I got one of my projects and this one has been kind of elusive for, you know, the few tries I'd given it. So everything else from here is kind of the icing on the cake, so to speak. So I slipped off again at the same spot, a makeshift Tigger, got back on, was able to get the compression move right, got the right foot up. It still felt really desperate for sure. Got the left foot up and jumped up and grabbed the good jug. From there, it's a little bit steeper for a couple bolts, but it's just a jug haul on really good holds. So you're able to rest and shake out, although it is steeper terrain again. And then from there, I'm not sure if you're supposed to go directly up, but I traverse left slightly and lay back this flake. So there's kind of this sloping, rounded flake, and I kind of just slap up the side of it and work my feet up, and it's a little bit awkward, but it's not too bad. And then at the top, you have better holds and you can clip the anchors. So it's a decent climb. I mean, if you're out there and other stuff is taken, get on it. Definitely not one that I would go, you know, scope out at the other place. Makeshift Tigger, you know, it's kind of a fill-in climb, but it's decent. It's decent. It's worth doing. So we ended up camping this weekend. Our friends down at the new Chris and Spencer. Chris had a really long work week, and I believe he was traveling and so forth. So they wanted to relax and not have any company, which they're always having company over every weekend, like, you know, between me and Galen and other friends and everything. So it's always a pretty loud and busy weekend for them. So they wanted a quiet one. So we camped at our old campground, which is Chestnut Creek. We really enjoy this campground. The owner is a little, you know, quirky, and he has strict rules, but I think, in my opinion, it kind of adds to the quality of the campground, because you don't get parties or, you know, loud people, or, you know, it's very clean, and I think he takes pride for sure in keeping his campground just immaculate. I mean, the grounds and the, you know, the individual campsites themselves and the benches and the trees are all kept nice, and there's not, you know, down limbs. The campsites are flat, the bathrooms are super clean. So, you know, some people don't like dealing with the owner, but, you know, I don't have a problem with him, and I think he keeps a nice place. So we stayed there and had a good night's sleep. Not as good as a bed for sure. So we were, you know, waking up a little bit sore, but it was, at least it was warm out, so that wasn't too bad. On for dinner, the night of, on Saturday, you know, before we went back to the campground, we went to Pies and Pints, which is one of our local favorites. Ended up meeting Chris for dinner. Went over to the local gear shop, Waterstone Outdoors, which is a great place. If you need any gear, or I think they have an online shop as well and offer free shipping if you spend some money, something like $50, or, you know, kind of a typical free shipping offer. So great place, Waterstone Outdoors. We went over because Spencer's working there. So went over and visited her and checked out some of the new stuff that's out for the spring. Some of the stuff we saw were the new Petzl Spirit draws. The Spirit, I forget what they call them, like the 3Ds or something like that. They have an I-beam configuration on the beaners. Man, these draws are slick looking. Be sure to check these out. If you're in the market for new draws, oh, these are beautiful. The dog bone is really wide and stiff, so you can grab onto it if you need to, if you know you're working a route and you're really gripped and you need to grab the draw. Both beaners are, you know, super smooth, really just attention to detail with some of the flat spots on the gate so you can clip the rope easier. Really nice. And also a new helmet from Black Diamond, which caught my eye, called the Vapor, I believe. And it's super lightweight, lots of cutouts. It almost looks like a mountain biking or a road biking helmet with lots of, you know, air holes and vents. So this thing was really cool. So it's pretty expensive. It's something like $140, but it's really slick. And my old Black Diamond Half Dome, it's one of the older ones, and it has no air holes. It just has the holes where you would clip a headlamp into, and that thing is like a little dome roaster in the summer. I always wear a bandana underneath so the sweat isn't dripping in my eyes. So a new helmet would be nice, so maybe I'll consider this Black Diamond Vapor. But anyway, I went to Pies and Pints and had a nice dinner, and the next day we went to Endless Wall, and I wanted to get back on S'more Energy, which I had worked last weekend, but I actually, I think I kind of had some minor bicep strain or not a tear, but I guess a muscle strain is a good way of putting it. I think it started off last weekend, to be honest, when I went to, you know, the 3-day weekend I was planning on doing, but it ended up being a 2-day weekend. And it was on S'more Energy. And S'more Energy at the top, if you've listened to my previous podcast, you have to lock off really hard with the left hand, and it's on the small crimp, and you have to dead point up to the right. And again, you know, my beta may be off on that one, not sure. But it just, man, it blew my left arm out. And the next day on Saturday when I was climbing with the big group I was with the other weekend, man, my arms were just smoked. So, and then I went bouldering this past week on, last week, I guess at this point, it was on Tuesday. And I had another workout on Monday and Wednesday. And man, I mean, my arm was just smoked. It was so sore and just burning. It definitely felt like kind of a minor muscle strain. So I was icing and things like that. So it's kind of still recovering from that this past weekend. And Sunday, I definitely was feeling some fatigue. It was a good thing. Galen was the voice of reason after we did Makes You Tigger. She said, you know, if, you know, you're feeling kind of sore, maybe you should give it a rest and save some juice for tomorrow, which I never do. So definitely still feeling a little bit of pain and a little bit of fatigue in that left arm. So anyway, I wanted to get back on S'more Energy, but it just didn't happen as the day progressed. Kind of an abbreviated day. Galen and I were both a little tired, and actually Chris Clint came out and climbed with us, and he had a long day climbing gear out at Beauty Mountain, so he was a little bit tired as well. So we got on a slab route called Upheaval, and it's over at Caymore Slabs, not to be confused with Caymore Area. It's Caymore Slabs at Endless Wall. So these are slab routes that are something like 100 feet, really long, great quality. And this one goes at like 5.9, so it's not too bad, but, you know, it keeps your attention the whole way and just moves up, you know, kind of gently and consistently and sustained throughout about the 90 feet of it, I guess it is. So great route. Definitely, it's usually packed out there. We were the first out there, so we had our choice of the warm-ups and got on Upheaval because it's one of our favorites. And then a few more people rolled in, and there was a group of four that kind of rolled in, and they were doing another route. So did that one, and then I wanted to do a gear route. I guess kind of in the back of my head, my plan for this year is to climb hard sport lines on Saturday, and then when I'm tired on Sunday, I'm going to climb some more trad, because I definitely want to do that this year. I want to get better and faster placing gear. And you can really take advantage of so many amazing lines out of the new. About half the routes out of the new are trad lines. which a lot of people don't realize, but it's totally a mixed area. I mean, you'll have, you know, bolted lines and trad lines right next to each other that are total four-star classics, and it's like that everywhere pretty much, especially at Endless Wall. There's tons of amazing trad lines at Endless Wall, as well as sport routes, of course. So I got on this route over at Diamond Point, which I actually top roped last weekend, called Remission. It goes at 10B, and I would say it's definitely easy for 10B, but the top keeps every bit of your attention. There's flaring hands at the top, and there's a couple spots where you can get some really good hand jams, but other than that, it's flaring and kind of just rounded slopers everywhere else. Nothing really that's useful. So since I was tired, I knew this one would, you know, definitely test me a little bit. And especially it's, you know, I would say it's my first real 510 on gear. The first trip out this year, we went to Junkyard and I did, Team Jesus and the Keep It Tight variation. They both went at 10A, but I wouldn't really give them, you know, a true 510 rating. They're not sustained. Both of those were kind of one move wonders. This one is definitely a little bit more sustained. Called Remission. It's like a four-star classic 10B. It's beautiful out of Diamond Point. So if you go out to Diamond Point, some of the classics out of Diamond Point are Gift of Grace, I believe, is a beautiful Rhett 12B sport line. Strike a Scowl is my favorite 10B bolted warm-up. Leave It to Jesus is 11C gear line. That's one of the classics of the grade. So Diamond Point's a great place. It was cold over there. It dries fast. It's always windy over there, and it was cold because the sun was kind of behind some clouds where we were. And man, we were pretty cold. So the weather wasn't warm where we were at Diamond Point. But anyway, worked my way up Remission. Chris brought out his rack, and I needed doubles of everything up to about tight hand size, like rattly finger size. So I took a bunch of cams and a set of nuts and placed a couple nuts and everywhere else I placed cams and definitely let out a few. I don't know if they were, you know, yells of exertion or more fear at the top. I think definitely a little bit of both, because my previous piece of gear right at the top, it was the second to last piece of gear. It was a C3, one of the Black Diamond C3s. It was the big one. It was the yellow one. And I placed it, and I knew it was total crap. But I was getting gripped, and I wasn't sure what to do. And I was at the, you know, kind of the getting into the flared part, so I just stuck it in there. And I was like, all right, well, if it holds, it holds. But I got to get out of here, or else I'm going to, you know, fall off of this thing just from hanging around placing gear. Because, again, my gear placements are slow. I get them right eventually, but I'm slow. And I was getting real pumped. It's a good route. And it'll definitely get you pumped if you're slow on gear like I am. So got up to the flaring part and kind of laid it back a little bit. And again, I, you know, kind of let out a little bit of a yell. I would say definitely probably at this point, now I'm thinking about it, more fear than exertion. But I got in this kind of thank God hand jam with the right and the left hand at this one spot, and you know, sunk it in there deep and squeezed the thumb. Got a great hand jam. Stuck in this bomber number 2 Black Diamond cam, the big yellow one or gold or whatever the color is. And then from there, it's just a couple moves to the top, and then you top out at the top of Diamond Point where the overlook is. So great route. And then when I came down, Chris top roped it to check out my gear. And he said all the gear was good except just that one that I knew was bad. So that was reassuring that my gear placements look good. And so I'm gaining confidence with my gear, and I'm able to, you know, climb a little bit more fluidly past it, not so hesitantly. So that was good. But from that point, we were tired. Galen top roped that route, me and Chris, and all three of us were tired. So we decided to go to what is, I would say, one of my new favorite spots called Secret Sandwich Society for lunch. Usually we have lunch out at the Crag, but Chris said, hey, let's go to Secrets for lunch. So I said, that's a hell of an idea. So we went out to Secrets for lunch, and I had this amazing special burger they had that they made for the weekend. It had goat cheese and asparagus and a couple other toppings I can't remember now, but the bun is amazing. They have homemade ketchup there, and I'm kind of a ketchup snob being from Pittsburgh, because, you know, that's where Heinz is from, and that's the only ketchup There's no such thing as Hunt's ketchup. That doesn't even exist. It's only Heinz, right? So they make their own ketchup there, which is actually really good. Fries are great. We sat on the back porch there. When we were out there, it was about 75 degrees. So unlike Diamond Point, we were quite warm. So we sat on the patio, had a great lunch, just kicked back and relaxed. And then from there, we headed home. So it was a great trip. This is Thursday I'm recording this. And this weekend, we have a few things at home we have to do. So we won't be out this weekend, but we'll be out the next weekend. So I'll be heading back down to the new. Hopefully the weather will cooperate for us, and we'll be headed down there, and I'll have hopefully some pictures. Jeez, it's been like, this is my second trip report in a row, and I'm doing kind of podcast form because it'd be really boring to read an article with no pictures, right? I wouldn't even want to do that, and it's my website. So I'm kind of trying to make it a little bit more interesting and do a podcast instead. So you can listen to this while you're in the car or whatever, if you do that. So with that, this has been another Rock Climber Life podcast. Thanks for listening.